All the masters did, but they had stopped in their tracks, knowing they had no choice. Above them, they could hear the Iron Years screaming, their cries carried thinly on the wind. Cole turned to Tamara. She was trembling with fury.
"We have to do something," she said.
The black flames licked higher, eating up more of the woods.
Fire, Cole thought.
He had put out fire before.
"It nearly killed you,"
Aaron protested.
"Now, without a counterweight."
Alex was still talking.
"First, release Anastasia Tarquin from captivity, or I will drop these brats into the fire and then finish off the rest of you. After you watch them burn."
A murmur ran through the crowd. Anastasia Tarquin? Not everyone knew she had been Alex's stepmother. Even Cole was astonished. Alex cared enough to bother springing her from prison. It was Master Rufus who stepped forward to speak.
"You must give us time," he called. "We have to contact the Panopticon."
Alex was grinning savagely. Cole could only imagine the pleasure he was getting out of ordering around his old teachers.
"Get a tornado phone out here in 5 minutes, or I'll toast a tot!"
Master Rockmaple turned and plunged into the magisterium.
"Cole and Tamara,"
Alex said, turning his star-blackened gaze to them. His face looked like parchment, behind which brilliant black light was burning.
"What a great reunion!"
He threw his head back and laughed.
"You should have stayed in the void,"
Cole shouted as he concentrated on pulling the air away from the chaos fire, eating away at the trees. But no matter how he pulled, the flames didn't so much as flicker. They weren't like regular fire, fed on air. Cole wasn't sure what they fed on, but as his magic flowed toward them, he felt neither heat nor light. If the opposite of chaos was soul, then he feared the fire fed on the substance of the world itself. He couldn't put out the fire that way. But he was a Makar. He should be able to control it. He sent his power toward the licking flames of chaos, concentrating on stopping its spread. It seemed like it was working. The fire began to ebb, burning itself out with nothing more to feed on.
"And you should have never been born,"
Alex told him, looking delighted to do so.
"You are a parody of all that the enemy of death was, you flimsy imitation."
"He's a devoured,"
Tamara said quietly to Cole.
"That's kind of like being an elemental. You could control a chaos elemental, right?"
"Good idea,"
Aaron thought. Cole smiled with vengeful hope. If he could control Alex, he would be hard-pressed not to make him do something stupid and humiliating, after, of course, setting down the Iron Year kids. He reached out again, this time not toward the fire itself, but toward Alex, only to hit what felt like a wall of sticky nothing. He felt his power being pulled toward Alex and yanked it back with what felt like physical force. Whatever Alex had become, he was too powerful for Cole to control. Master Rockmaple raced back through the mission gate with Master North and Mr. Rajavi, who had apparently not made it off the grounds of the Magisterium. Master North carried a tornado phone. Tamara looked over at her father. He gave her a quick glance in return, but didn't speak to her, which was probably the right move. Better for Alex not to be reminded of their relationship. Better for Alex not to think of a new way to hurt one of them.
We can't really give in to this,
Master North was saying. Then he spotted the kids hanging from the claws of the dragon, both of them looking increasingly panicked, increasingly sure they were going to be fed to chaos. For now, Mr. Rajavi said, activating the tornado phone. On the other end was a guard at the panopticon. Cole recognized the uniform with a shudder.
We need you to get Anastasia Tarquin and prepare her for release, but bring her here first. We need to see her and that she is all right as she is set free,
Mr. Rajavi said.
Anastasia Tarquin?
Demanded the guard, stunned.
On whose authority?
On behalf of the Assembly, which I speak for,
Mr. Rajavi said, as the guard seemed to slowly realize both who he was talking to and the confusion of what was happening in the background. He paled and ran off. Up on his dragon, Alex smiled. Smug. The dragon opened its claws and the girl slipped, her scream carrying to them. The dragon caught her again as though she were a ball, and it was playing a game. Her screams went on and on.
Stop! Cried Mr. Rajavi. We're giving you what you want! Only return the children!
Sure. I'll send them back.
Lightly seared,
said Alex, laughing. It occurred to Cole that this was what Alex had always wanted to be. This was what he'd always thought the enemy of death was supposed to be like, this maniacal, howling horror.
The children are innocent, said Master Rufus. They have done nothing to you. Take me.
Drew was innocent, snarled Alex.
Cole struggled not to point out that this wasn't in the least bit true. He didn't think it would be helpful.
You murdered him, all of you! You are the teachers of lies!
He's going to freak out, Tamara whispered, her face pale. We have to do something.
She's here,
called Master North. Through the swirling air of the tornado phone, they could see Anastasia in the baggy uniform of a panopticon prisoner being led out the front door of the jail by two burly guards. She was blinking, but clearly unharmed. Alex made a growling noise.
Set her free!
The guards stepped aside, and Anastasia looked around in stunned amazement. It was clear she had no idea what was going on. Her voice was audible, barely, through the phone.
What's happening? Who's there?
Let the children go,
called Rufus. Alex smiled unpleasantly.
Should I really?
You'd better. Tamara yelled. Everyone knows what Anastasia looks like, and everyone knows she's a traitor. If you don't get to her first, any passing mage might grab her and throw her back in prison. Or worse.
Alex bared his teeth. The whole crowd tensed, and the dragon reared forward and swooped, opening its claws. The two iron years tumbled free, hurtling toward the ground and then slowing just before they hit. They both sat up, to Cole's relief. Axel was holding his arm, though, and Cole supposed that the masters hadn't been able to cushion him enough. Master Rockmaple ran toward the children. Alex's dragon reared back, letting out a puff of black fire.
You will not follow me,
Alex said, and thrust out his hand. Darkness poured from it. Cole remembered his dream again, a whole city torn apart by chaos. The darkness began to form a whirling void, like a black, sucking funnel. As it spread toward the magisterium, it sucked in leaves and stones. It seared the ground as it passed. It was closest to Master Rockmaple, because he had run to grab the children. He raised his hands, and fire blazed between them. With a stern look, he hurled fire toward the chaos, and the black wave surged forward and enveloped him. With a howl, he was dragged into the void. He was gone. People were screaming again, turning to run back into the magisterium, but the press of bodies created a blockage at the gates. They were trapping themselves outside. It was going to be a massacre. Cole thrust his own hand out, reaching down inside himself. The counterweight to chaos is the soul. He knew the soul tap, how to find the energy of his own life force, and he reached for it heedlessly, ignoring the almost physical pain as he drew on it. "Use me," Aaron called. "Use my energy too." Cole only shook his head. His hair whipped on the wind from the chaos void. Tamara was yanking on his arm, trying to get him to back away. He bent his fingers. Slightly. The way he had in his dream, the void began to fragment, coming apart in pieces like black glass shattering. But darkness was all around Cole, and he felt himself falling. Chapter 8. Cole woke with a start. For a moment he thought that he was lost in chaos, until he heard the familiar hum of voices and the distinct mineral smell of the caves of the magisterium. He sat up, startling Master Amaranth. He was in the infirmary. Cole relaxed and slumped back on the pillow. The mage came over to him, her coppery hair pulled back and her snake coiled around her head like some enormous headband. Today, it was a bright yellow-green that turned to blue and then purple as Cole watched. A moment later, red stripes emerged on its scales. "You almost died," Aaron said in his head. "Oh," Cole said. He remembered something like that. Something about the hole ripped into chaos and trying to close it, and trying to tap into his own soul. "I tried to hold on to you, but it felt like you were slipping away," Aaron went on. He sounded panicked and angry. Cole guessed that made sense. If he died, Aaron would have died too. "That is not the point," Aaron began, but Master Amaranth interrupted. "Against my advice. Your friend is still here," she said. Cole thought for a bizarre moment that she meant Aaron, before he whirled around to see Tamara sitting on the cot beside him. She set down the anatomy book she'd been reading and hurried over to his bed. "Sorry," he said, although whether he was saying it to her or to Aaron, he wasn't sure. "I guess I am not so good at defeating my enemies, huh?"
"Don't be an idiot," said Tamara fondly. "You don't have anything to be sorry for."
"You don't understand,"
Aaron said.
"I wasn't going to die. If your soul was used up, I would have been alone in here."
Cole guessed that was one way that Aaron could get a body.
"That's not funny," said Aaron.
Tamara sat down in the chair next to his cot. She was smiling, and he was incredibly relieved to see her, too. Things hadn't been looking good when he lost consciousness.
"You're all right?" he said. "Everyone's okay?"
"Mostly," Tamara said. "You tore Alex's chaos tornado apart, and then you passed out and I didn't exactly notice what else was going on. She blushed, but basically, Alex escaped in all the yelling. She bit her lip.
We lost Master Rockmaple, too.
I'm sorry, Cole said again. He knew he should have acted earlier.
I told you it's not your fault,
Tamara said, with a return of her usual bossiness.
I don't know what we're going to do about Alex, though, she added. After you passed out, I managed to talk to my dad. He said that Alex was right, that there's never been a Devoured of Chaos, that there are so few Makars already and so few mages become one of the Devoured, and Makars never have before. We don't know how to stop him. We don't even know much about the Devoured. In the mage world, we don't like to admit it can happen.
Cole thought of Tamara's sister, Ravan, and of Master Rufus's own teacher, Master Marcus. Both of them had become devoured, and indeed they were spooky. No longer quite human. Not quite elemental. Cole never knew whose side either of them were on, and no one seemed to know how much of their former selves remained. Although, for what it was worth, Alex seemed exactly like the same evil, obnoxious self he'd been before he was a Devoured of Chaos. Just with a lot more power.
This is a mess, Cole said. I have no idea how to stop him.
Tamara sighed.
Me neither. You can't tell her that, Aaron said. Say something encouraging.
But I'm sure we'll think of something, Cole tried weakly. Tamara frowned.
Say that if we work together, we'll find a way to defeat Alex. We always do.
Cole repeated the words, trying to sound like he really felt that way, the way Aaron would have said them.
Tamara held up a hand. No. Absolutely not. Why are you talking that way? The call I know would never say that. The call I know would be talking about packing bags and running off to a remote location where we could disguise ourselves and hide. Then later he might reluctantly do something heroic.
She gazed at him with deep suspicion.
Something is going on.
Cole winced and thought of his dad, who not too long ago had actually suggested they run away to a remote location. Tamara knew him alarmingly well. He couldn't put off telling her any longer. He said. Aaron is in my head.
Cole, don't lie to me, Tamara said. This isn't the time.
I'm not lying.
And I'm not kidding,
Cole said in a harsh whisper.
When Aaron died on the battlefield, his soul passed into me, and not that sort of weird half-Aaron, but real Aaron. Aaron's soul is alive, and it's in my head.
Tamara looked at him with her mouth open. She was clearly trying to decide if he needed a massive dose of medicine.
Tell her you can prove it,
Aaron said.
I can prove it, Cole said. Give me a chance.
After a long hesitation, she nodded.
Let me talk, Aaron said, just for a minute.
Cole didn't exactly know what he meant, but he nodded. Tamara was staring at him, definitely noticing he was nodding for no reason. But Cole was past caring. He needed someone to believe him that this was true.
Go ahead.
Tamara, he said. He hadn't meant to say it. The word had just come out of his mouth.
He sat still. It was like listening to Aaron.
What was he going to say next? Remember that first night after the iron trial? Aaron said.
Tamara nodded, wide-eyed.
Cole went to bed early. We were sitting in the living room and you said, don't worry that he's in our apprentice group. He won't last the week.
She stared at him for a long moment. You
could have told Call. It was a good sign that she was acting like she was talking to Aaron. Good, but weird. Call had given Aaron permission to control his body, but he still didn't like it. Okay. Aaron made Call's mouth say, "How about this? When I stayed at your house that summer, your dad kept walking around in that white robe with all the gold trim on it, and one day you put it on and pretended to be him. But he caught you, and he caught me laughing, remember? I was so scared he was going to throw me out, but he just walked away, and we all pretended it never happened."
"Aaron!"
Tamara cried and threw her arms around Call. She was sobbing.
"It is you. I know nobody else knew that."
"I can't believe this," Call muttered. He was enjoying holding Tamara, but there was nothing about what Aaron said that he'd liked.
"You both wanted to get rid of me. You suck."
Tamara pulled back a little, her eyes shining with tears.
"We got over it," she said.
Call wasn't feeling entirely over it himself yet, but he was glad she believed him. When she looked at him again, there was something new in her face, something she'd never seen before.
"Call," she said, "I was wrong. You did something amazing. I don't know how you did it, but you brought Aaron back from the dead."
"And that's good," Call said, not sure of how to navigate such a weighted conversation.
"Right?"
"Well, obviously I think so," said Aaron.
"I keep thinking of something you said when you first came to the Magisterium, when you were just learning about the mage world. You didn't understand why the Enemy of Death was such a scary name. Do you remember what you said? Who wants to be the friend of death?"
Call did not remember saying that. He shook his head.
"I've thought about it a lot," Tamara told him, "about how there's nothing wrong with wanting no more death. We all want that. That wasn't Constantine's problem, and bringing Aaron back is so good, it's incredible, it's amazing. Call, you did something no one has ever done before."
"Well, two problems," Call said, although he was reluctant to give up any of her good opinion. "One, Aaron more or less got pulled into my head by trying to keep me from being destroyed by chaos, and I'm not sure we could ever do anything like it again. And, two, we have to get Aaron a body." Her eyes widened a little.
"Oh, yeah."
Before they could get down to the nitty-gritty of the ethics of body-stealing, Master Amaranth returned. Beside her was an assembly member Call recognized, but didn't know by name. Master Amaranth's snake had turned an aggressive orange, and its head was hovering in the air over one shoulder like it wanted to strike at the new visitor.
"Call 'em," said Master Amaranth, "against my advice. Key members of the Assembly have come to the Magisterium and are eager to have a meeting with you and some of your friends. You would think they would be a little more patient, but it turns out they are very bad at waiting."
The Assembly member beside her wore an increasingly pinched and unhappy expression, but didn't rise to the bait.
"We're sorry," he said, "but this is a matter of urgency. Alex Strike has sent us his demands, and they involve both of you."
The assembly was meeting in the large stone room, around the round table where Call had sat in front of them before, most notably when he'd brought them Constantine Madden's head in a bag. That had been a big hit, or so Call liked to think. When he and Tamara came in, he was surprised to find Jasper already there, talking in hushed tones with one of the members. Call got close enough to hear that their conversation was about Jasper's dad, currently imprisoned in the Panopticon.
if Anastasia had been sentenced to death, what was Jasper's dad's punishment? He couldn't be in really bad trouble, Call tried to reassure himself. Surely Jasper would have told them. But looking out at the unsmiling faces of the mages, a chill went through him.
Enough! Enough!
A sharp voice cut through the chatter as Call and Tamara took their seats. Master Rufus seated himself opposite them, his arms folded. A few other teachers from the magisterium were with him.
Enough! Everyone come to order!
Called Assemblyman Graves. Ancient and grumpy, he was one of the senior voices in the assembly.
We have business to discuss!
Everyone settled down. Call tried to catch Jasper's eye, but Jasper was staring at his own folded hands.
We have suffered a great loss today, said Master North. Master Rockmaple, after a long life dedicated to selfless service to his fellow mages, is dead.
Not just dead, said Master Milagros, red-eyed. He was sucked into chaos. Who knows where his soul may be wandering?
He was saving two students, said Master Rufus. He will be remembered as a hero. As should Call, he added, shooting a look at Assemblyman Graves. If it were not for our Makar, Alexander Strike might have succeeded in murdering even more innocents.
And it is Alexander Strike who this meeting has been called to discuss, said Graves.
He lifted a piece of paper from the stone table in front of him as if it were a distasteful object.
I have here his list of demands, which reached us after he was reportedly seen at the Panopticon rescuing Anastasia Tarquin from a very deserved punishment.
He sent a letter? Tamara whispered. Who does that?
What kind of demands? Snapped Master North.
The rest of the group was abuzz.
We have no reason to give in to any demands of his, said Master Taisuke. He is no longer holding hostages. We should not cooperate.
In a sense, he holds us all hostage, said Rufus. No one knows what a devoured of chaos can do.
He can burn the forest, said Tamara. He can create black holes of chaos that only Call can dismantle, and Call practically killed himself doing it.
Assemblyman Graves looked down his long nose at her.
Tamara Rajavi, he said, I'd imagine you'd want to hear this list of demands since it specifically mentions you. Or would you rather chatter?
Call grabbed Tamara's hand under the table before she could climb over it and take a swing at Graves, who cleared his throat, perched a pair of glasses on his nose, and started to read.
To the mages of the Magisterium. By now you know that I, Alexander Strike, have become a devoured of chaos. I am chaos, and chaos is me. I can unleash the destructive power of chaos on the earth any time that I want. I can burn down cities and evaporate oceans. I can destroy the world. You have only one chance, and that is to do whatever I say. I would consider a truce with the Magisterium if the mages are put immediately at my disposal to construct a stronghold for me. I have enclosed a drawing. It will be massive, made of marble and granite. I want it built near the Magisterium, so every apprentice has to look at it whenever they're outside of the caverns. And I want it to have a big movie room, and also a balcony. It must dwarf any stronghold Constantine Madden ever had. As soon as the stronghold is constructed, I will occupy it. Then you will bring me more things I want. Deliver to me Colum Hunt, Tamara Rajavi, and Jasper de Winter, and have them bound so they can't do magic. In fact, have them gagged. Especially Call. Lastly, I want Kimaya Rajavi delivered to me, though she will come willingly. Alexander, strike!
That's ridiculous, said Master Taisuke, the moment Graves had finished, standing up to slam his hand down on the table.
It can't really say that. It sounds like the petulant letter of a child. These aren't reasonable requests. He wants us to build him a mansion and give him... what? His enemies to punish? A girl he wishes to play at being some kind of villain from a fable?
He believes my daughter Kimaya was in love with him, Mr. Rajavi said. She is a foolish girl, but very ashamed of being led astray. Being with him again is the last thing she would wish. Graves gave him a skeptical look, but didn't comment.
I saw Alex, Mr. Rajavi went on. He didn't seem at all like the boy I remembered. He wore an enormous cape and seemed to delight in frightening us. All his demands might seem absurd, but he does really have power and the childishness of his desires. That, to my mind, makes them all the more frightening. A grown mind is reasonable, but a child's mind is capricious.
A devoured of chaos,
Assemblyman Graves said after a moment.
We have no experience with such a thing, do we?
A silence followed.
No,
he said, after letting it go several moments.
Call him as a macaw. What do you know of this?
Call cleared his throat and started to panic. This was the kind of situation he never did well in. He always said the wrong thing.
You don't know anything either, Aaron told him. Just tell them that.
There's this lizard I know, Cole said. He could hear Aaron's groan in his head, but Cole went doggedly on. And he warned me about something else, something that had been sent into chaos. So, I guess the only thing I know is that maybe Alex brought Chaos Elementals back with him, like maybe that dragon.
Graves didn't seem impressed. Could you become a devoured of chaos?
What? Cole blurted out. Graves adjusted his spectacles.
If you used your ability to manipulate chaos without a counterweight, you might well be drawn in and yourself made into one of the devoured.
You would be a creature of chaos, not quite human. But you might be able to take down Alex. It would be a very heroic act.
Cole just stared at him. He couldn't believe Graves was really suggesting such a thing, but then he recalled the way Aaron had known they were treating him well because they were going to eventually ask him to die for them. Now Cole was the only Makar in town. Unfortunately for the assembly, Cole had never been particularly good at gratitude.
You thought I was a sucker, is that it?
Aaron asked. No, Cole said, then realized he'd answered Graves more directly than he'd intended.
Cole's correct. He's not doing that. It would be suicide,
said Master Rufus, interrupting any possible objections.
Cole, Jasper, Tamara, I want you to understand what's happening here, because telling you that Alex wants you delivered to him is a risk. A risk not everyone here thought we should take. He glowered at Graves, who glowered back. Now that you know of Alex's requests, now that you know of the danger he poses to you directly, you might be justified in wanting nothing to do with it. Alex believes we'd never tell you he's asked for you as prisoners, out of fear you'd run away, but I trust you. I believe you won't run because of the death and destruction it would bring on innocent people. We have no plans to turn you over to Alex. But I move that we start building his stronghold, because that will make him believe we're cooperating and buy us some time. You need to use that time.
Cole, you are our only Makar. Reach inside yourself. Find your power. Figure out how to defeat Alex.
Everyone stared at Cole.
Say you'll do your best,
Aaron told him. If I'm going to do this on my own, said Cole in a hard voice, if I have to figure out how to defeat Alex, even though I'm still a student, then I want something from you. Whatever I do, whatever my friends decide we need to do to destroy a devoured of chaos, I don't want you to stand in our way. I want you to help me. Enough treating me like I'm an enemy. The enemy. Understood? There was a silence. Master Rufus's face was unreadable. Cole wondered if he'd gone too far. Graves took his spectacles off his nose and squinted down the table at Cole.
We understand, Mr. Hunt, he said. We understand you very well.
Good, Cole said, and stood up. To his relief, Tamara and Jasper stood up too, clearly ready to go where he went. Then I'll do my best. Chapter 9. Cole made it all the way back to their rooms before his burst of fearlessness deserted him. They found Gwenda waiting nervously in the room for them, and there was something about the look on her anxious face that knocked the last of Cole's strength. He collapsed onto the couch, face in his hands. I can't do this, he said. I can't. Tamara climbed onto the couch next to him and reached for his hand. Cole noticed Jasper, noticing the gesture, but didn't care. What did it matter what Jasper or anyone suspected about his relationship with Tamara at this point?
We'll help you,
Tamara said. He was glad she hadn't said everything would be okay, but Tamara was too smart to say that. She knew those kind of promises didn't mean anything. She made the kind she could keep.
You won't be alone.
She looked up. Right, Jasper? He nodded.
Yeah, of course.
And I'll be here, said Aaron. Remember when it was me on this couch? Remember me throwing my shoe because I knew being the Makar meant I'd have to die for the Magisterium?
Yeah, Cole replied.
And I'll help too,
Gwenda said, then paused.
Wait, what did I just promise to help with?
Jasper told her quickly about the meeting and the message from Alex.
You mean you have to figure out how to defeat a devoured of chaos?
Gwenda said incredulously.
Actually, wait, we have to figure out how to defeat a devoured of chaos since I just promised to help? I can't believe it. I always wondered how you got sucked into these things, Tamara and Jasper, and now I know.
No kidding, said Jasper. How do we wind up saying these things? Who wants to be involved in this kind of stuff?
You don't have to be if you don't want to, said Cole.
Don't be ridiculous, said Jasper. Of course I do. I mean, I don't want to, but you get the point. What's our first move?
Do you think Alex has allies? Said Gwenda, sitting down on the table. Besides Anastasia Tarquin, I guess.
Not like Master Joseph did, said Cole. Alex isn't the enemy of death. He doesn't care about ending death and grief. He only cares about power. So a lot of the people who followed Constantine and his group probably won't follow Alex.
What was up with the dragon? Gwenda asked. It must have been a chaos elemental, but it was huge. Was that Automatones? Do you think that was what Warren was warning us about?
Automatones is a different huge elemental. But since Alex came back, who knows what else came with him?
said Tamara. We have to assume that even if he doesn't have followers, he can still control enough monsters that a direct attack would be chancy.
No one knows how to stop a devoured of chaos, Cole said. I mean, I don't even know much about the devoured. Mages don't seem to like to talk about them.
Tamara sighed. Yeah. When Ravan became one of the devoured, my family pretended she was dead. They thought it was better that way. But when I needed her help, she was there for me. She still considered herself to be my sister. Is she... human?
Gwenda asked, looking uncomfortable. Tamara shook her head.
She doesn't have to be human to matter.
The last time Cole had seen Ravan close up, she'd been ushering him and Jasper out of the Panopticon, a pillar of terrifying fire. The last time he'd seen her from a distance, she'd been helping Tamara and Jasper escape Master Joseph. She'd been a plume of flame.
Don't forget the battlefield, Aaron said. She was there, too.
Alex seems like exactly the same jerk he was before, said Cole.
But Ravan, wait, can you still get a hold of her?
What do you mean? Tamara asked.
We could ask Ravan about being devoured, Cole said, about strengths and weaknesses. Maybe she could help us figure out how to defeat Alex.
The mages are still looking for her, said Jasper. They don't like to let Devoured just walk around loose. If they caught her, they'd bring her back to the Magisterium and lock her up again.
We're not going to get her caught, said Cole. He looked at Tamara in what he hoped was an innocently hopeful manner.
She sighed. Yeah, I can contact her, but Jasper's right. She would be taking a chance sending back a message. She might not try.
Everything's a long shot right now, Cole said.
In the meantime, we should try to find Warren again, Gwenda said. I bet he knows more than he's letting on.
He always knows more than he's letting on, Cole admitted.
Well, said Jasper, it's time we got it out of him. We need to interrogate that lizard, get a bright light, and tie him to a chair and tell him he will be sleeping with the fishes if he doesn't tell us everything he knows.
Tamara's eyebrows went up.
He's always sleeping with the fishes, she said. At least he is when he's not eating them.
We could lure him out with a plate of food, said Gwenda. What do you think he'd like to eat?
They debated that for a while and wound up using magic, a trip to the refectory, a net, and a rummage through their own junk drawers to come up with a plate they were sure had something to appeal to Warren. On it were cave crickets, eyeless fish, gems, coals, and lichen that tasted like cotton candy. The four of them, Havoc trailing behind, walked through the parts of the cave, calling, "Warren!" and finally set the plate down to wait. Nothing happened. Jasper started to whistle. Gwenda started a game of tic-tac-toe with Tamara.
The time is closer, Cole said loudly, hoping the little lizard would be unable to resist finishing his favorite sentence.
What?
Gwenda said, and then yelped as Warren scuttled out of the shadows. He made a beeline for the plate and devoured a cricket.
Delicious. Warren said, many thanks for food kindly provided.
Warren, Cole said, we need your help.
Warren guessed that,
Warren said, discarding the lichen. He snapped up a few more crickets.
You have seen the Devoured of Chaos, yes? You know why Warren warned you.
Yeah, we know, said Cole.
Though in the future we'd appreciate more concrete warnings, you know, said Jasper, totally failing to grab Warren and interrogate him. Less of this beating around the bush. Just say what you mean.
The lizard regarded him darkly and ate the last cricket.
Come with Warren.
I have something to show you.
Does he always refer to himself in the third person?
Gwenda whispered as they followed Warren out into the corridor.
Not always, said Call. It's inconsistent.
Gwenda muttered something about not being able to believe they were doing this.
It was late, and the corridors were dimmed with low light.
No students were around as they hurried after the bright lizard, who turned corners so swiftly that they were soon all lost. Call could sense his companions growing uneasy as the ground slanted down and down, and the walls became more splotched with damp. He felt as if he could sense the presence of the weight of the whole mountain above him, pressing down. They came at last to a passage that was more like a crack in the rocks. It was horribly narrow. Warren scuttled into it, clearly expecting the rest of them to follow. Havoc, unable to fit, hovered worriedly by the entrance. Call glanced toward Tamara, who swallowed hard and slid into the space after the lizard. They had to shuffle sideways to push themselves along, the stone pressing against their backs and stomachs. Call could hear Jasper complaining that he should have eaten less lichen at dinner.
Please, please don't let me die stuck here.
Call prayed, and I'll do everything I can to defeat Alex. He heard Tamara give a gasp of relief, and a moment later he popped out of the narrow space like a cork out of a bottle. All around them were walls made of hardened volcanic rock, black and craggy. The heat was intense. Both Jasper and Gwenda gasped as they emerged into it. Fire was audible in the distance, crackling like thunder.
Where are we?
Jasper looked around. A wide corridor led between two long rows of cages, whose bars were made of glimmering gold carved with fire symbols. Call had been here before, though he'd come through Anastasia Tarquin's offices.
This is where they keep the devoured, said Tamara quietly. Those who have been consumed by elements. This area is for fire.
Warren, said Call. Warren, what are you doing? How did we get in here?
There is a secret way into every place, said Warren, and someone here wants to see you.
He began to scamper down the corridor. After a moment, the four students followed. It was so hot that Call felt as if every breath were searing his lungs. Tamara and the others looked miserable, too. He was glad Havoc hadn't come. A fur coat was the last thing anyone needed down here. Most of the cages were filled with what looked like roaring bonfires. Some were blue or green. Most red and gold. In one cage, lava dripped from the ceiling like fiery rain. A wheel of fire spun in the air. Tamara paused in front of an empty cage. The inside was blackened stone. Her lip trembled.
Ravan, she said,
touching the bars.
Your sister is free.
The voice crackled like fire itself. Call knew immediately who it was. The students turned to face the cage opposite them. Marcus, devoured of fire, sat on a burning throne inside his cage. He was all black smoke, except for two burning eyes made of fire. He had been Master Rufus's own teacher until he had let fire control him. Warren ran squeaking into Marcus's cage and scampered up one smoky leg. He perched on Marcus's knee as the devoured scratched his scaly back. Warren half-closed his eyes and purred. Call had seen a lot of weird things, but he had to admit, this was one of the weirdest.
Wow,
Gwenda whispered.
Privately, Call agreed. He went up to the bars of the cage, as close as he could without getting burned. "Marcus, we need your help," he said. "You've helped us before."
"And to what benefit to myself?" Marcus inquired. "I am still here, inside this cage."
"You've done good in the world," Tamara said firmly. "You helped us defeat Master Joseph."
"And now his apprentice rises, more powerful than ever he was," said Marcus. "Perhaps there is no victory. Rufus's children."
"He actually only became my master fairly recently," said Jasper. "I mean, for the record."
"Marcus," Cole said firmly, "what do you know about Alex Strike, the Devoured of Chaos?"
"I heard rumors such a creature had risen," said Marcus. "At first, I did not believe. To be devoured of chaos is to be overcome by the void, that which is not. The emptiness at the heart of the whirlwind."
"Well, believe it," said Tamara. "Is Automatone's back?"
"Many have returned," said Marcus.
"The devoured one was consigned to chaos, but he was able to tear open a door into our world and return. He brought with him those he thought might help him here. Ajdaha, the great dragon. Automatones, the most savage of the chaos-ridden ever to be hurled into the void, all have returned at his side."
"What about Stanley?" said Jasper.
"Who the heck is Stanley?" said Gwenda. Even Marcus looked puzzled.
Cole sighed. "He was a chaos-ridden who was loyal to Constantine, me, whatever. I don't think Stanley was his real name either. It's just what I called him."
"Stanley?" said Gwenda.
"Forget him," said Tamara. "Marcus, we need to know how to kill a devoured of chaos."
"Yes, you do," Marcus said.
Cole was frustrated and sweaty. "Why did you want to see us? Warren said you got him to bring us here." At the sound of his name, the lizard scuttled up to Marcus's shoulder and began kneading it the way a cat would, flicking his tongue out at the hot air. Cole guessed they were closer than he'd thought.
"It was you who sought Warren,"
Marcus reminded them.
"I had him lead you to me because of Rufus. Had I not become devoured, Master Rufus might have been less distracted, less willing to allow Master Joseph to get close to Constantine. We all bear a share of the responsibility for the enemy of death. And I would like to discharge mine by aiding the defeat of this new threat."
"Great," Cole said. "Then help me. Help us." Marcus looked at him with burning eyes.
"Everything you need is already with you."
"Does he mean me?" Aaron asked.
"That's not helping," Cole said. "Just say what you mean for once. No more riddles."
"Good luck, mages,"
Marcus said, then burst into a column of flame. When it died down, no one was there but Warren, the gems on his back gleaming brighter than ever.
"I will take you home now,"
the little lizard said, racing ahead before waiting for a response, leaving them to scramble after him.
"That was Master Marcus?" Gwenda said as she followed. "I can't believe you know him. I can't believe we just talked to him. He's a legend, and terrifying, a terrifying legend."
"Yeah," said Jasper, looking a little pale.
"We're really cool like that."
Cole's leg was hurting as he scrambled through the tunnels, and he felt the opposite of cool. In front of the assembly, he'd acted like he was capable of finding a way to stop Alex, but as they headed toward the less stuffy parts of the Magisterium, he started to despair.
"We're going to be fine," Aaron said, but he didn't sound entirely sure himself. Warren paused, alighting on a rock above a winding stream that flowed through the caves. They were back in the familiar part of the Magisterium.
"The time is now," said Warren.
"Wait," said Gwenda. "I thought it was closer than we think."
"The time is now,"
Warren repeated, then scuttled away into the shadows. Gwenda turned to Cole.
"Does he always say that? Please tell me this is normal."
Cole said. "No." "Forget Warren being cryptic," Tamara said, dusting off her uniform and tucking a stray strand of hair behind one ear. "Maybe we're overthinking this. Maybe what we need is a weapon."
Jasper looked back at her. "What kind of weapon?"
She gave them all a fierce look.
"That's what we're going to find out."
A few hours later, they had covered the table, the couch, and a large chunk of the floor in their common room with books they'd borrowed from the library. Each of them had a stack and were skimming through, looking for weapons that might be useful against Alex. It turned out that the mages had made a lot of things over the years, though very few of them measured up to something like the Alkahest, which could kill Chaos users with their own magic, and which Alex had modified to steal Aaron's Makar abilities, and which had been, thankfully, destroyed. Most were useful, but kind of dull things like knives that returned to the hand of the person who threw them. A few were just weird.
"I found a hatchet that cuts the heads off 3 pigeons with every single throw," Jasper said, looking up from his book with a frown. "Who would want to make something like that?"
"Someone who really hates pigeons,"
Gwenda said with a yawn. Just then, there was a knocking on the door. Cole went over and waved it open to find a bunch of first years, including Axel and the girl who'd been carried into the air by the dragon.
"We just wanted to thank you," said Axel,
"because you're awesome."
"I'm Lisa," the girl said, thrusting a drawing at Cole. "We just wanted you to know that we will never believe anything bad anyone ever says about you. You're cool, and you saved us. And I drew a picture of it."
Cole took the picture and goggled at it. He couldn't deny that it was actually very well drawn. The face really looked like him, but the body was much more built and also featured his shirt ripped open. Over 6-pack abs. Cole said, embarrassed. Tamara grabbed it out of his hands.
"This is amazing," she said with enthusiasm that Cole was sure came from mockery. "You're really talented. We're going to hang this on the wall."
"We are most certainly not," said Jasper, who would have loved the drawing had it been of him.
"Thank them," Aaron said. "Tell her it's a great picture."
With Celia telling people that Cole was evil, he supposed he couldn't afford bad public relations. Maybe these Iron Year kids could help him get back in the good graces of the rest of the students.
"Thank you," he told Lisa.
"It's great. It definitely is," Tamara agreed.
"We just wanted you to know," said Axel. "Whatever you want, we're there for you. We'll help, really. Anything."
"You guys are so sweet," said Tamara.
A wicked grin grew on Cole's face. Now here was a gift he knew what to do with.
"Great," he said. "As you can see, we're really busy, so how about you go to the refectory and get us some of those lichen cakes that taste like pizza? And then I need some more books from the library."
"Cole,"
Tamara said, interrupting him. He gave her an innocent look.
"Maybe just the lichen cakes for now," he said to the Iron Years.
They nodded and headed off to do Cole's bidding.
They're not your personal servants, Tamara said. I think you